Grab your Bibles and please open to Romans chapter 15. We're going to be looking primarily at just one verse tonight. Over the past 6 weeks, we have looked at various scriptures that are part of a long list of one another's. And as a brand new church, I believe it has been helpful to see God's instruction, how we should interact with one another here at Gilbert Bible Church. We have looked at our responsibility to love one another, to be joined to one another, to forgive one another, to bear with one another, to bear one another's burdens, encourage and build up one another. And tonight we're going to look at the Bible's instruction to admonish one another. I think for some, the word admonish might sound really, really scary. I hope, though, after tonight, we will have removed all fears, and the word admonish might bring to you, and I am hoping that you'll be convinced that admonishment is essential in the life of the church. I will read Romans 15:14. And concerning you, my brethren, I myself also am convinced that you are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, and able also to admonish one another. Will you pray with me before we get into this text? Lord, I do praise you that you have given us your word. Father, I pray, Lord, that the words that come from my mouth would edify those that are listening. And Lord, it would just give you the glory that you deserve. Father, we're looking at a particular verse that is essential for the healthy church, for a healthy church. Father, I pray that I would speak clearly, that Gilbert Bible Church, my friends, my church, that we would just recognize what a high calling you have given us to participate with one another in growing in godliness. Lord, please be glorified in this tonight. Amen. There's often many applications to a particular scripture, and this particular verse would be a verse that has more than one application. This evening, we're going to look at Romans 15:14 in the context of a vital one another in the church life. On the bottom of the notes, on the bulletin that you have, I linked Smedley Yates' sermon from a couple years ago now on Romans 15, and the application that he took with this verse was the church's ability and being competent to counsel others. We're going to look at a different application tonight than just being competent to counsel. When you think of the word admonish, what comes to mind? I'm getting a horrible echo. I think it just got better. Thank you. And I see the nodding of heads. You're getting a horrible echo too. But when you think of the word admonish, I want you to think, what comes to mind at first? Maybe your first thought was a spanking. Maybe being corrected harshly. Maybe a raised voice. And should I be talking a little bit softer? We okay? I'm still hearing an echo up here. I'll give it a try. I think you hit the sweet spot. Thank you. Okay. There's nothing worse than hearing your own voice. And that's like, yikes, these poor people. So there, now I can't hear myself, so you're out of luck. But seriously, though, thinking about the word admonish, I know for myself, it comes with a negative connotation. And I think that for many, the use of the word admonish, it's morphed in the English language. I do think for many of us it sounds very scary, But the biblical definition of admonish, as well as Webster's dictionary, gives a definition that might, you might not even recognize it because it's so different than how we might view the word admonish. Webster's and the Bible really align very well with what they say. And here's what from Webster's: A, admonish, to express warning or disapproval, especially in a gentle, earnest manner. And I believe Scripture would affirm that. When we come to one another, it is to be in a gentle, earnest manner. B, to give friendly, earnest advice or encouragement. And I affirm that that would be the Bible's goal in how we interact with one another as well. And thirdly, to say something as advice or a warning. And Scripture clearly affirms that we do give warnings. The Greek word noutheteo is translated in our English language several different ways: admonish, teach, counsel, warn, instruct. I do believe the best translation is admonish, but I do believe they all fit. But here's what we know about this passage as we think about admonishing. We know that Paul is writing to the church in Rome. We know, if you read chapter 16, Paul names names. He knows at least 30 people in this church because he names them from previous ministry contexts. Paul is calling them brethren. So we know Paul is speaking to, he's writing to a Christian audience. And Paul starts this verse with, concerning you, my brethren. He's addressing men and women. He knows that he is, and he is convinced of their love for the Lord. Paul has called them brethren. And Paul continues in saying, he says, I am convinced. And this, I am convinced, is a perfect tense of how Paul is speaking. It means Paul is in the continued state of being convinced. He's not saying, I think you might still be. He's not saying, I kind of think you are. Paul is saying, this is a fact, I am convinced. Paul is convinced that these Christians are full of goodness. Think about full of goodness. That is a manifestation of the fruit of the Spirit in the believer. We are to be full of goodness. Paul is speaking to his audience saying, I know you're full of goodness. Believer, we are commanded to be good. It's a mark of the believer. And I want you to think about this. When Scripture talks about being full of goodness, here's some of the ideas that it carries here. It's generosity. It's benevolence and generosity towards someone else. It's generosity that may include a financial gift, but it also suggests the giving of our time in practical ways to show care for one another. Goodness has the thought of being of high moral character. The believers in Rome hated evil and they loved righteousness. Goodness was clearly displayed in their lives. And Paul says, as a matter of fact, you are full of goodness. This word filled, as you look at filled with all knowledge, it's a passive verb. And that just means, it doesn't mean they have a degree. This doesn't mean that they went to school and they have an education. This would connotate the being filled because of they were in God's word. They were applying God's word. Because of their knowledge of God's word and how to use God's word, Paul is saying, you are filled with knowledge. And here's the thing, Christian, we are to continue to be growing in our love for God's word, growing in wisdom because of the time that we are in God's word. Paul is saying this because they were full of goodness and filled with knowledge, and they were able to admonish. They were able to counsel one another. And this can be said of believers today. This is our role in the church. We are to care for one another. We are to admonish one another. And I'm going to have you now jump to your outline, Paul's instruction to admonish one another. And I get it. If I would have used the word counsel, it might have been a little bit easier than hearing the word admonish. But what you see here is the admonish, it's a warning. It's to warn, it's to counsel, it's to instruct, it's to teach. This isn't a biblical admonishment, isn't based on our opinions, but it's based on Scripture. What does Scripture say how a believer should live? And we will come to one another giving counsel, giving warning, giving admonishment based on God's Word. And I'll say this just kind of as an important side note here. It's imperative that we make sure that when we give a biblical admonishment or we give warning, it is based on Scripture. It's not based on our preference. We don't admonish in areas of gray areas where Christians do different things. We don't admonish in areas of preference. And if we were to take chapter 14 in with what we're reading here in chapter 15, chapter 14 deals with areas of freedom. It's the chapter on the stronger, weaker brother. And there are many examples where we have freedoms, but Christians historically have really gotten at odds with each other. Some of these might sound kind of weird to you, but these truly have been divisive issues. Dancing. I'm sure for some of you, you've probably had to deal with the choice of homeschool, Christian school, or a public school. It might be the length of hair. Even things like playing cards or playing billiards. Christians have had a disagreement on these things of what they think is right. And this separates. And I would say these are areas of freedom. Here's one. I don't know if you've ever been in a church like this, but a division over playing the guitar in the church. These are clearly areas of freedom that we should not be admonishing one another because we have a preference. But if you're addressing, you need to be careful of that what you are addressing is clearly sin. If you're addressing somebody that has been lying, stealing, maybe drunkenness, maybe foul language, maybe grumbling and complaining, maybe forsaking the gathering of the brothers and sisters in a church. Maybe it's somebody saying, I am really struggling and I want my marriage to come to an end. These are areas that Scripture speaks to, and Scripture equips the believer with knowledge from God's Word of what God's desire is. Just for the sake of just teaching how we do one another's, this doesn't mean we never talk about preferences. However, but we do need to be careful. We don't want to bind one another's consciences over an area of preference. And if you have questions on what's an area of preference, you're not sure if it's an area of preference, I don't know if I should say something, please talk to either myself or Josh or Tyler, or talk to others in the body that you think may have answers. But we want to be careful that we aren't criticizing people in the midst of preferences. Keep this in mind as Paul writes the book of Romans. He's not instructing just pastors and elders. Paul's writing to men and women in the church. Remember, the Bible, the Word of God, is sufficient for admonishing, for teaching, for instructing. And when we come together, one another, and if there is sin that is being addressed, we need to bring God's word to bear on it. And two familiar verses, 2 Timothy 3:16, 17, for the sake of time, because it is short tonight, you don't need to go there, but I know you're familiar with this. I will read verse 16, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. Verse 17, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. God has given us everything we need for life and for godliness. He's given us a Savior. With an understanding of Paul's instruction to admonish, I want to get to the second point on your outline, and it's, when do we admonish? When do we follow this instruction? As we consider how we practice this particular one another at Gilbert Bible Church, I would rephrase the verse this way. Concerning you, Gilbert Bible Church, I am convinced that you are full of goodness, filled with God's word, and able to admonish one another. I believe you are thoroughly equipped with God's word in hand. And as when considering the when is the proper time to admonish, I want to address three different situations. So bear with me. Two, they look a little different. The first one's very different from the second two, and the second two look kind of similar, so bear with me a little bit. But the three situations, the first one is, when somebody comes to you and asks you for help, I need help parenting. Somebody comes to you and says, you know, often I just feel angry. I regularly feel anxious about the future. I'm really struggling with being content with my season of life. I'm having a difficult time fulfilling my responsibilities. And the list can go on. But here, somebody comes to you and says, help. We come with God's word and we help them. We talk about the goodness of generosity of time. It's spending time with one another. Somebody is hurting. Somebody needs help. Our call as Gilbert Bible Church is we spend time with one another for the sake of growing in godliness. In this situation, someone coming to you for help, you are full of goodness. Give them the time that you have. This is a normal part of what the church should be doing. I can tell you, sadly, I have been in churches where sin is just overlooked and people, it's none of my business. That we don't want that for Gilbert Bible Church. We need to be caring for one another. The goal is that we would be making effort that the entire Gilbert Bible Church would be complete in Christ. That's the goal. You know, I want you to think about this because I realize, and there's a chance you're not like me, but the word admonish, I have a terrible thought. My first thought of admonish is a spanking. But I want to convince you that admonishment is something you already do. Every one of you already do it every day. And here's what I mean by that. Some of you, on your way to church today, had somebody say, you should slow down. That is a friendly warning. If you came in on the 202, there was a wreck when we came in. It was a time to slow down. If you have a 16-year-old driver, you don't say, hey, you know the thing out there with the four wheels on it? Here are the keys to it. Just go play around with it for a while. No, you sit, you give time, you give warning. This is what you do. You need to be sure that you look behind. You check around the car. It's an admonishment. It's a friendly warning. This is how you do something. If the stove is hot, I appreciate it when Anne tells me the stove may still be hot. I don't want to go over there and put my... But that is a friendly admonishment. So thinking about how often we do give warning, why wouldn't the church want to do this for one another for the purpose of growing in godliness? It's a privilege that God uses us as his instrument for building his church. He doesn't need us, but he uses us. And this is one of the means of how God uses us. As we think about Romans 15, 14, we spend time teaching, instructing to the path of godliness is the goal. Now, these types of conversations do happen regularly in body life, helping each other grow in godliness for God's glory. Now, the next two situations are a bit different than somebody coming to you. But consider when the admonishment, when you have to go to somebody. And there's two situations here I want to address. And the first one is the situation when you have been sinned against. When somebody in the body has sinned against you. And here's the key. You want to be certain. It's not a preference. You want to be certain that it has been a sin that has taken place. And the third situation we're going to look at is when you've observed it or you're just aware of a situation. Maybe it's not against you, but you are aware that something has taken place. In both situations, you must prayerfully determine if you should overlook or if you do need to go to your brother or sister and admonish. And I want to just talk a little bit about when do we overlook? When is it helpful to overlook in this one another? The Bible indicates there are clearly times that we can overlook a sin or an offense. And I'll, just for the sake of time, I'm going to give you a couple verses. Feel free to take notes, but I will read them to you. Proverbs 19:11, a man's discretion makes him slow to anger, and it's his glory to overlook a transgression. 1 Peter 4:8, above all, keep fervent in love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sin. So there's times that it is permissible, it is proper to overlook. So here's some things to consider. Is the person characterized by the behavior that you're observing, that has happened? Or is this just a one-off? If it's a one-off, I would say maybe you might want to overlook it. But if they're characterized by this behavior, it's unloving to not go to your brother or your sister. I'll give you an example. If you and I were talking and I responded to something you said in a harsh manner, you could point out that my speech was not edifying, as I am instructed to speak in Ephesians 4:29, or you could think, wow, Tom must be having a hard day. He has never responded to me like that before. It might be something to overlook. And again, if something you see in me regularly or one-off, maybe you know that I have a slamming headache. Maybe you know I haven't slept. Maybe you might overlook it because there's something else going on that's a difficulty. But if you believe I am characterized as a grumbler, you need to come to me. If I want you to come to me, this body needs you to come to the one another's. It's kind of like this. If I'm eating spaghetti, and I'm a messy spaghetti eater when I used to eat spaghetti, and I have spaghetti sauce on my face, I need you to tell me, Tom, you have spaghetti sauce all over your face. There's times we are blind to our sin. In the body, we need one another. So I hope we can agree in our relationships with each other. There'll be times where sin can be overlooked, but there's also many scriptures that tell us we have a responsibility to admonish. And I want to address two extremes considering the proper time to bring an admonishment. There are some people that think every sin, every offense needs to be addressed. Some people just love bringing correction to others. That's not helpful. I remember once a person told me in the church that he really believed it was his God's given job to protect the church, and he should go to any infraction that he thinks he might see and bring correction. I'm not exaggerating. That's not helpful. But on the other hand, and this happens far too often, there are some people that would choose never to go and admonish their brother because of fear. I don't know how they're going to respond. I don't know if they're going to still like me. Neither of these behaviors are good. We need to work together as a body. And I'm going to say this before I continue. You need to recognize if you're bringing an admonishment to somebody, it may be hard for them to hear. And if somebody is bringing you an admonishment, you need to recognize it may be hard for them to come to you too. But this is just what believers do. We come to one another. But here's the thing, never bring warning. You need to be thinking through what are the verses that I should be bringing. And there's several verses that speak to it's unloving if we do not warn. And again, for the sake of time, Proverbs 28:23, he who rebukes a man will afterward find more favor than he who flatters with his tongue. The point is this, that it's profitable in the long term. And what the flattering is here is refusing to deliver a correction. In the long term, it is better to have been corrected. You see it in 2 Corinthians verses 7 and 8. I'm sorry, 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 8 and 9. And it's Paul talking about after he brought correction to the Corinthian church. For a little while, they were devastated, but after a bit, they had a second response and they repented. Confronting is often uncomfortable. It's even painful in the short term. The scripture's words should encourage the believer to do the right thing. Proverbs 27:6, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but deceitful are the kisses of an enemy. And this is probably one of the most powerful verses, I believe, in scripture that tells us our responsibility. And it's James chapter 5, verse 19 and 20, 21 through 21. Listen to this. My brethren, if any among you strays from the truth and turns, If any among you strays from the truth and one turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his ways will save his soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. That is a heavy, heavy thing to consider. God uses us in the life of the church to be our brother's keeper, to come, to bring correction when there's times that we might need to bring correction. And again, the goal here is that we may present as a church body every man complete in Christ. So we have looked at Paul's instruction to admonish one another. We've looked at when, and we're going to spend a little bit of time in just how to do it. So buckle up. This is going to be fast. I've got 5 minutes. So here we go, guys. Here's how you do it. We need to do this prayerfully. Pray for the words that you will speak. Pray for the person that you are speaking to. Pray that the Lord would show you what you need to see. And the thought there is Matthew 7, 1 through 5. Get the log out of your own eye before you go to inspect surgery. And this, I'm going to need to explain because I don't want to be, clearly I don't want to be misunderstood on this one. You need to forgive in prayer. Between you and God, you need to forgive the person who has sinned against you, who has offended you. And this is particularly important if you're the one, if you feel you have been sinned against or you have an offense. And let me explain what it is to go to the Lord in prayer. This doesn't mean that you go to the person and just say, hey, I want you to know, last night in prayer, I forgave you for being whatever. That's not what I'm saying. I hope you understand that. Here's what it is, though. God, I forgive this person when they did this or when they said this. And at this point, you know you have given it to the Lord. You have transacted with the Lord. You can now, with clear conscience that you've given this to the Lord, go. And I know in how I see it and how it's practically worked in my life, I feel I can trust the Lord in this situation when I now have to go. Because I've already given it all to the Lord. The Lord already knows all about it. So, in other words, let me sum it up this way. Before you admonish, you need to do a lot of praying. You need to pray. We need to pray. And second, before you admonish, you need to consider the verses you would want to bring to the conversation. If you're convinced it's sin, you want to come with verses. You know, if it's a person's speech, it would be from Ephesians chapter 4. If it's a person's lack of faithfulness, Matthew 5, let your yes be yes, your no be no. If somebody just doesn't do what they say they're going to do, it's helpful to let them know that it's a lack of faithfulness. If a person's lying, it might be Colossians 3:9. If they're a grumbler and a complainer, 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18 says, be joyful, pray continually, give thanks in all things. This is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. If it's anger, it might be James 1:19 through 21. If your friend has stopped coming to church, it might be Hebrews 10:25. But here's the point. Consider Scripture to bring to bear on whatever the situation is. And the third thing to remember before you go, remember, and I've said this already and I'm going to say it again, remember, it may be difficult for the person that you're going to, and if you're being gone to, recognize it's hard for the one that is coming to you as well. They could be blind to it. They could be embarrassed. They may just not even recognize and be just terribly embarrassed. But we are full of goodness. We are full of compassion. We are believing the best about the other person. And I would say one more thing on this topic. And I call it the doctrine of second response. Sometimes when somebody brings something to us, our first response isn't pleasant. It's okay. Give them time to have a second response. Give them time to think about what was said. And moms and dads, this is all this is very practical for even how you interact with your kiddos. But think about this, though. Even if they don't respond in a way you were hoping, they could still have a second response and be praying for that. And there's two good verses I want to just have you think about as you think about how we interact in the body and just caring for each one's godliness. And, you know, even Josh's reminder of we're a church that practices church discipline. Here are the two verses I want you to think of and just spend some time pondering. First is 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 14. We urge you, brethren, admonish the unruly. The unruly is the one that is saying, I don't care what you think. Thank you for bringing God's word. I don't care. I'm going to go do it anyway. That's the unruly. Encourage the faint-hearted. Encourage the one that is in the midst of just a hard trial. They might need encouragement. They may just need you to walk with them more than they need you to be pointing out what's going on. And then after a period of time, maybe you might determine that they are unruly, but more often in my ministry, I find people that are faint-hearted that just need somebody to walk with them for a bit. And they're not unruly at all. They want to be pleasing the Lord, and they're just in the midst of hard circumstances. Help the weak, and here, be patient with everyone is how 1 Thess ends. And the second verse I want to put in front of you is Galatians 6, 1. Brethren, even if anyone is caught in any trespass, you who are spiritual, you, the one that's not struggling with the sin, restore. The goal is restoration. It's not condemnation. We want to have compassion. We want to restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. Each one looking to yourself so that you will not be tempted to sin. These verses instruct us to be patient, and they instruct us to be gentle. And really quickly now, the goal is to restore. A spirit of gentleness is best understood as trusting God with the outcome. You do not need to feel the control, the need to control the person or the situation. You will not feel the need to argue with your brother or sister. You will not feel the need to manipulate them into doing something. You can trust God and his word in the other person's life. When you're admonishing, be patient. So I'm going to close with this, and it's Gilbert Bible Church. Concerning you, my brethren, I am also convinced that you are full of goodness, filled with knowledge, able to admonish one another. Remember, the goal of obedience is God's glory. Let me pray, and then Josh will come up. Lord, Father, I just praise you for your word, Father, that you have given us everything we need of how to live in harmony in the church. Father, please be glorified in Grace Bible Church. Lord, please give us wisdom as we care for the church. Lord, we know you love this church more than we ever could, and we praise you and pray all these things in our Savior's name.